This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. The Town Council meeting of June 18th, 2008 featured a presentation on the audit results for fiscal year 2007. It is interesting for a couple of points. Here it is June 2008, and we're getting the results of the fiscal year that ended fully 1 year ago. Why the delay? Partially priority, partially schedule conflict. The report for fiscal 2006 was presented in June 2007, already a year late. So there's a history of taking time to prepare the audit and review the results, both by the town administration and this particular audit firm. One key item driving this is people. The town of Franklin, contrary to what some folks within the town believe, is not overstaffed or overmanned in any way. There are only a few people involved in this particular area, and they can only do so much at any point in time. As a result, the schedule conflict created by the school audit, which was discovered approximately in September 2007, and then physically took place during September through December 2007, prevented the normal fiscal year audit from taking place. So they had to wait until January of 2008 to really begin the audit, and now in June of 2008, they've completed the audit and have prepared the full results. I've chosen to present the full segment from the town meeting here. I think it's really important and will help place the financial foundation for everything else that goes on in the town from this point forward. It's interesting as well that Frank Falvey, local citizen, comments towards the end of this segment to reinforce two points. One, that the auditors recommend putting in place an internal audit process. Frank has commented and noted on this before. The town had not done so. It is one of the findings of the audit. So as part of our watchdog process, we need to make sure that the town council forces the town administration to have that internal audit and put it in place. Otherwise, this will continue to be an audit item for future reports and continue to not give us the insights into the actual town operation that the audit process should provide. Secondly, the timing, as we started with, in terms of it taking so long, Frank's recommending, as he's done previously, to have the town council and the town administration process these audits in a more timely fashion. There can be a way to handle this. Now, granted, the school audit was a unique situation, but the prior year did not have that. Next year, since June 2008 right now is ending our fiscal year, there's no reason to believe that by December, the audit can't be ready. So we'll need to get on the town council, on the town administration to make sure that happens. Now, to follow along with the audit report, there's a link available in the blog that accompanies this for the full audit report in a PDF format that was on the town website. You can follow along fairly well with the auditor's comments because he does reference the pages he's talking to. Be aware of those that there are two sections numbered in the beginning, 1 to 3, that's kind of the intro letter. And then the actual audit section also begins, obviously, 1 to 3. That major section is effectively where most of the references are. So if you follow along there, you'll be able to see and recognize the pages and thereby the columns of numbers and audit items that he's actually talking to. I think it follows fairly well, and I didn't even attend the meeting. If you have any questions, of course, feel free to let me know. The segment itself lasts about 40 minutes. So be patient, but I think it'll be worth your time.
There are no hearings, no license transactions. There's a presentation this evening on the annual audit report. Sir?
Good evening. I'd like to introduce Scott McIntyre. He is partner with Melanson Heath of Andover, Mass. And Nashua, New Hampshire. He has been our auditor for the past 3 fiscal years. I would like to turn it over to him for his presentation. Of course, answer any questions that you might want answered.
Good evening, and thank you very much for the invitation to come in this evening and review. I'm just going to review the highlights of your audited financial statements for the year ended June 30, 2007, and we have a few recommendations that we are making in a management letter as a result of our audit field work here in the town of Franklin. As the comptroller said, this is our third audit here in the town of Franklin, and the financial statements that you have in front of you, as has been the case for the last couple of years, they are prepared under the I still refer to it as the new reporting model, but it's been 5 years that the town has implemented what is known as GASB 34, which is that reporting model. So if I slip up and refer to it as the new reporting model, it's just almost out of habit. But this model has been used now by the town, as has been used by all the governments here in the Commonwealth and across the country for 5 years. And you're beginning to see some trends in the new set of the financial statements, and they are being looked at more and more by financial institutions and rating agencies as well. I would like to just kind of walk through the highlights of the financial statements and then walk through our management letter recommendations as a result of our work. In general, the financial condition of the community is good. The reserves, I think, as you may have noted in some reports from rating agencies recently, the reserves are a little bit down from where they were in the prior years. But that is all a result of, as noted in the reports from the rating agencies, those were some planned use of both your free cash and some of your stabilization funds as well. So with that being said, I'd like to turn your attention over to page one of the financial statements. This is the independent auditor's report. This is our opinion. It's on page one and it goes on to page two. This is our opinion on your financial statements. Everything else in this document, other than page one and page two, belongs to the town of Franklin. The numbers are all yours. Susan and I have sat through the process of reviewing the draft financial statements, and since she can actually see each individual general ledger account in the town's accounting system and how it feeds up to the numbers that are present on the balance sheets and operating statements in your financial statements. But essentially, this independent auditor's report indicates that, in our opinion, your financial statements are totally in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles for governmental organizations. Been having that type of opinion now for 5 years since GASB 34 was put into effect. It's a clean opinion, and it's that's what you need to have as a result of your audit. Following the opinion is page 3 through 10, which is management's discussion and analysis. I'm not really going to walk through this, but I think it's a good resource tool to go back to at a later point in time. There's a lot of there's some trend analysis in here, as well as some little charts, if you will, not graphs, but charts of numbers that indicate why certain account balances may have changed from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And it's sort of highlights, before you get to balance sheets and income statements, what happened during the fiscal year. It kind of gives you a preview, if you will, and it's a real nice summary to go back to at a later point in time. That takes us over to page 11. And 11 and 12 are what I referred to earlier as the newer set of the financial statements, as required by GASB 34. Included in this document are really two separate sets of financial statements. 11 and 12 are designed to report the financial position and results of operation of the town on a basis similar to what businesses would use, and aren't necessarily the more cash basis accounting that has traditionally been used by governmental entities. I wasn't going to walk through page 11 and 12 in any detail this evening. I've sort of given an overview in the last couple of years and how the GASB, which is the organization that really sets the rules by which you folks handle your accounting and financial reporting, I've given an overview as to how they think these statements should be read. If there are questions on them, I'll be more than happy to try to answer them. That takes us over to page 13. This is the more traditional-looking balance sheet for governmental entities. And even with a management's discussion and analysis with the MD&A and the prior two pages, 11 and 12, which are required now by GASB 34, the first place that just about all readers of your financial statements are going to turn to is on page 13. It's the first column of numbers. It's the general fund, which is the main operating fund of the community, and it's the third number up from the bottom. So again, the first column of numbers on page 13, third number up from the bottom, It's your unreserved, undesignated fund balance reported in the general fund. It's $2,443,735. That is not your certified free cash that the Department of Revenue calculates. In essence, that's the starting point for what the Department of Revenue will use to calculate your free cash. And almost always, not always, but almost always, they will make certain deductions to that account. So your certified free cash would be something less than that. So, and what I failed to mention when I turned to this page and was pointing out that, you know, this is really the first page that most readers are going to turn to, is this is a snapshot of your financial position as of June 30, 2007. And so it doesn't include any of the operating results for fiscal year 2008 to date, or any implications with respect to the fiscal year 2009 operating budget here at the town. It's a snapshot of what your financial position looked like as of June 30, 2007. And again, that key number, $2.4 million. The year before this, June 30, 2006, that unreserved fund balance in the general fund was about $2.9 million. So earlier when I said that the balance sheet was solid, however, reserves have declined, this is really what one of the things that I'm referring to. During fiscal year 2007, there was about a $400,000 drop in your unreserved fund balance of the general fund. Now, that $2.4 million, that's the third number up from the bottom in that first column of numbers on page 13. If you look at that $2.4 million as a percentage of your fiscal year 2007 expenditures, which is a common way that rating agencies and financial institutions will view that number represents about 2.6% of your fiscal year 2007 expenditures. Now, the standard rule of thumb would be that rating agencies like to see that number between 5 and 10%. So by itself, it's a little bit, it is below that rule of thumb that rating agencies have. But if you look at the fourth column of numbers on page 13 from the left, you see your stabilization fund has a separate balance sheet here. And again, in that stabilization fund column, if you also look at the third number up from the bottom, it's about $6.7 million in your stabilization fund. That fund stayed essentially flat from June 06 to June 07. But if you combine your unreserved fund balance in your general fund with that of your stabilization fund, that's about $9.1 million in reserves, which is about 10% of your fiscal year 2007 operating expenditures. I skipped over the second and the third columns on this particular page, the Central Fire Station Fund and the Senior Center Fund. These are a couple of capital projects here in the community. All I would think I would like to say with respect to these two columns is, again, looking at the third number up from the bottom, you see that those fund balances are in parentheses indicating that they are in a deficit. They're only in a deficit because the town is financing those projects with short-term bond anticipation notes. Once you permanently finance those bond anticipation notes and recognize the bond proceeds, not just the temporary debts, but the actual bonds, these deficits will be eliminated. So it's one of those things in governmental accounting that, you know, the financial position or the equity of these funds looks like it's in a deficit, and from a generally accepted accounting principle standpoint, it is. But it really is a timing issue, and once you permanently finance the bonds for those projects, the deficits will be eliminated. Really takes me to the second-to-last column on page 13. It's the column right before the one titled up, the total governmental funds. And the second-to-the-last one there is the non-major governmental funds. Essentially, I equate that to a big barrel of funds in the town's general ledger. Included in there are grants, revolving accounts, gift funds, and other capital project funds. By other, I mean other than, of course, your Central Fire Station Fund and your Senior Center Fund. Each of those individual funds that I refer to, grants, revolving accounts, and other capital project funds, while collectively they have assets of about $10 million, individually, they're all relatively small, so they don't rise to the level of having its own separate balance sheet here on page 13 And if we were to turn to page 15, its own set of revenues and expenditures. So it's a lot of funds essentially put together in a barrel there and reported as non-major governmental funds.
Would the enterprise funds be in there, the enterprise accounts?
No, they would not be. The enterprise funds, page 13 is governmental funds, which is an enterprise fund is considered a proprietary fund type.
Okay.
And if you look over those balance sheets, begin on page 18.
Okay, she has a question.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman, to whichever one of the town people I think can answer this. Of the 6.709,846 that's in the stabilization account, how much of that is designated towards, like, 495? Or, you know, we have the separate...
You have to understand, this is a June 30th balance sheet. So the general stabilization fund as of today is just north of $4 million.
Right.
We do have about $750,000 in the DPW fund.
Mm-hmm.
The Union Street one is closed. And there's $40,000 left in the Beaver Street. No, that's DPW. So what was and then there's
the
debt one is about
$550,000.
Thank you.
So those are separate.
Yep.
That sort of highlights the point I was making in that this is a snapshot of your
right.
financial position at the point in time of June 30, 2007.
Okay.
Were there other questions on this page at this time? Okay. Well, just one final number I'd like to go back to, actually, on page 13. Again, going back to that first column of numbers, the third number up from the bottom. $2,443,000. I indicated earlier that declined by about $400,000 from 06 to 07. If I can ask you to turn your attention over to page 17, I'll try to connect the dots if I can between on exactly that $400,000 decrease. Page 17 is an analysis and a comparison of your fiscal year 2007 operating results with the budget that was enacted for fiscal year 2007. And I'm going to focus on the last column of numbers, and it's the number in the lower right-hand corner, almost $852,000. Now, that's a combination of revenues that came in excess of what was anticipated and a total of unspent appropriations for fiscal year 2007. Now that $851,000 would normally drop to the unreserved fund balance. However, just to help connect the dots, I indicated the unreserved fund balance was down $400,000. Yet we have a positive $851,000 here. The connection between these two numbers resides in the actual amounts column, and it's about halfway down the page under revenue and other sources. You see an account called Other Sources that has a balance in there of $1,037,399. That Other Sources is your use of free cash that was approved for fiscal year 2007. That was an anticipated funding source, but because it was really the use of existing surplus, it wasn't as if there was cash coming in through the collector's office or some other office throughout the fiscal year. So if you take that $1 million, and you subtract it from the positive 800 that's in the lower right-hand corner, and again, I'm certainly rounding here, you have about a negative $200,000. Now, that is essentially the reason why your unreserved fund balance went down by $400,000. Clearly, those two numbers do not mirror each other, but you have the difference between the two is really deals with basis of accounting. This page right here on page 17 is prepared on one basis of accounting, and your balance sheet back on page 13 was prepared on another. All sorts of, I won't call it interesting information in the footnotes explaining that, but there are full reconciliations between the basis of accounting in the footnotes, and I can get into that if the council would like.
Judy?
I have a question on page 17, too. Under education, it's showing a variance of $581,000.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that?
That's the school over expenditure for fiscal year 2007.
And that was covered through what?
No, you remember at the close of the year we transferred 274 to reduce it down because it was really almost 900,000, and what ended up being short when all was said and done was the eight 581 that we paid out of free cash
in 08.
In 08.
Okay.
We paid out of stabilization, actually, and then we reimbursed the stabilization account with free cash. So that's what that minus. We always said it was 582. We were rounding it.
Okay, so. Thank you.
I don't think you need to go through the reconciliation of the two types of accounting.
I didn't think the council was going to want to. That was all I was going to touch base on the financial statements. I was going to turn our attention to the management letter.
Just for the folks at home, just clarify from your perspective, other than what's in the management letter that you'll talk about, are the financials in good shape here in Franklin?
Yes, they are. When all was said and done, you know, we did not need to make a lot of entries as a result of performing our audit procedures.
Thank you.
Onto the management letter, and I'm going to start my discussion on page 3. Page 1 and page 2 are an introduction to the management letter. As I frequently say, it tells you a little bit about what we as auditors do, and I think always, I usually say this, just as importantly, what we don't do. We don't look at every single transaction that goes through the books and records of the town, and I think that's very necessary to say in instances like this. Starting on page 3, we do have a couple of recommendations that are follow-up from the prior year. But maybe before I start going through these individually, because if you've noticed, the town has supplied us with written responses to these that we've put in here. I think the positive thing that I would look at with this management letter is that many of these issues, while they weren't, there's several here that were noted in our 2006 audit, they weren't completely cleared or put into effect through fiscal year 2007. Clearly in 2008, corrective action has been taken, and so I think many of these comments, this is the last time that we'll be reporting on them. But on to number 1, which is to establish written policies and procedures over departmental receipts. And this is a follow-up from the prior year. You know, auditors are big proponents of written policies and procedures. It establishes guidelines and it establishes a basis for which to test your internal controls. How effective are your internal controls? How are they designed, and how effectively are they being operated? Through fiscal year 2007, formal procedures were not implemented. However, they were established in fiscal year 2008. We do think now that formal procedures are in place that internal audits should take place by the comptroller's office. It doesn't mean they have to be done on a weekly basis, but even on a quarterly basis to do some internal auditing of departments that handle cash here in the community would be a big improvement in your internal control structure. Over on page 4, our second recommendation is to implement a reconciliation of the ambulance receivables. And this is an issue that I know has been present here in Franklin for many years, where the detailed list of receivables does not match what's in the general ledger. And it is a very difficult process. Seems like it ought to be an easy thing to rectify, but it is a tremendous amount of work for the administration to clear this particular issue and establish and reestablish a procedure on some of these old receivables and get the old receivables reconciled with the general ledger. However, we still think you should follow through and establish written procedures and implement a reconciliation of receivables to the general ledger.
If I could just give an update on that. The Chief McCarraher just informed me that I put an official request into the software company outlining exactly what I needed from them in a report, and they did tell him that within 3 weeks I should have that report in front of me. So I'm going to review that and see if that will give me the information I need to do the reconciliation. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they'll finally give me the report structure that I need to get this done.
On page 5, issue number 3 is to establish a tailings account. Again, this is a prior year recommendation that we made. While it wasn't, corrective action was not put into place in FY07, we understand that it has been done in fiscal year 2008. And essentially, a tailings account is for uncashed checks and properly accounting for those old uncashed vendor and payroll checks. The bottom of page 5 is to improve controls over performance bonds. In the prior years and through 2007, there was not a complete reconciliation between the performance bonds in the Treasurer's Office and the General Ledger. That reconciliation has essentially been implemented in fiscal year 2008 as well. Over on page 6, a couple of current year recommendations. Issue number 5, and this is a comment that we have made to virtually all of our audit clients with our fiscal year 2007 audits. I believe last year when I was here for the exit conference, I may have mentioned some new auditing standards that would be applicable for our audit of your financial statements fiscal year 2007, and really changed some terminology and required some more in-depth analysis and essentially what that audit standard that I'm referring to is SAS, and SAS is an acronym for Statement of Auditing Standards, and it's number 112. In essence, what that standard says, and it has an appendix to it that says, if these items are present, or just as importantly, if these items are not present, they need to be raised as issues in the communication to the town council and to the administration. There's a couple of issues that are very common to Massachusetts municipalities and maybe even aren't the most important issues, but the standard requires that we raise them and bring them to your attention. And they really begin over on page 7. At the very top of page 7 is to document the components of internal control. Many of the recommendations, you've heard me use the term throughout many of these recommendations, is your internal control, your internal control structure. Many years ago, an organization created, a model internal control for all organizations to use, and it's commonly referred to, as you see here in the comment, as the COSO internal control framework. It is essentially the de facto standard that organizations use to measure the effectiveness of their internal control procedures. Getting back to SAS 112, what it expressly states is that if the organization does not have adequate documentation of its components of internal control, then I must report that to you. And that's exactly what I'm doing tonight, is that you do not have, as virtually all of Massachusetts communities do not have, documented components of internal control. And by documented, I mean in accordance with the COSO model. Now, subsequent to providing Susan with the drafts and the reports to go out to you folks, I have been able to provide her with some examples of some, I'll call them internal control questionnaires, that the town can begin to accumulate this documentation that the audit standard is looking for. And it may take a couple of years to build it up to where it essentially really, where the standard, that being SAS 112, would like to see the documentation, but it's a series of about 10 internal control questionnaires that the town can begin to use to document its internal control procedures, policies and procedures, in accordance with this standard framework. So, another component of SAS 112, and I'm getting down to the bottom of page 7, is to establish an internal audit function. Again, that's one of those items in this, that are specifically identified in the audit standard, that if the town does not perform any internal auditing, then it's really not monitoring its own internal control policies and procedures. So we're recommending that you establish an internal audit function. We're not recommending you establish a new position as an internal auditor. I wouldn't want to stop you from doing that, but I don't think it's necessary. What we're just suggesting is that the folks to my left and my right can periodically go out to departments in the town and complement what we do on an annual basis, where we certainly spend a lot of time in their offices, but go out to other departments here in the community as well. And that by having a procedure of internal audits, we're spot checking departmental receipt collections, petty cash, proper handling of a lot of payroll and vendor issues. That level of internal auditing, which can be done even on a quarterly basis, will provide you with the monitoring that is required by SAS 112, the monitoring of your own internal control procedures. Over on page 8, issue number 6 is to improve controls and limit access to the general ledger. For fiscal year 2007, the town implemented the Munis financial management system. And as I have it written here, it was brought, the school audit was brought up earlier. As was originally noted in that audit, the school department has the ability to make journal entries to the comptroller's general ledger. Inherently, that creates a problem. And what we're recommending is that from a security standpoint, you restrict the ability to affect change to the general ledger, to the numbers, the account balances, the school, that ability to make change to the system should be limited and restricted to the comptroller's office. Let me just clarify that a little bit. I think it would be appropriate and necessary for the school to be able to have ability to do purchase orders and even adjustments to purchase orders and that type of ability to affect change to those types of things in the Munis financial management system. But when it comes to the actual account balances in the general ledger, that should be restricted to the comptroller's office only. That is a very quick overview of your financial statements as of June 30, 2007, in our management letter as a result of our audit. I will try to answer any questions that the council may have.
Judy?
This audit was done as of June 30, 2007. When was the actual audit done?
The audit was spread out over throughout fiscal year 2008. If I remember correctly, we began on procedures in the fall, and then really had to completely step back. At that time, the school issue arose, and that audit was taking place. And when we first got here in the fall, I think as a result of the conversion and perhaps that school department issue, the books and records weren't yet ready for audit at that point in time. So it was really into the first part of calendar 2008 that we came back and we were able to reestablish our working trial balances. That's a fancy way of saying getting your accounts from the comptroller and putting them in the process into the format of the audited financial statements.
And in the normal auditing world, is this considered to be a late audit? Because it's almost the end of fiscal year 2008.
Yes, it's a little late. There's no doubt about that. I think that a goal would be to have this type of presentation occur in either January or February following a June 30 year end, sooner if possible.
When did you do it last year?
It was June last year.
June. So maybe you should be a little bit faster during this audit and not having it being up here coming in June. I mean,
well,
the
it's
things
my
that
fault more than their fault.
But the things that you found here, it's a year later. A whole fiscal year has gone by.
Mm-hmm.
A whole year has gone by. And that seems to be a very long time to wait for an audit. Thank you.
Deb?
I was reading through these prior year recommendations that we didn't seem to actually completely accomplish any of them, which is quite disappointing, I have to say, although I know that there were reasons behind it. Do you think it would serve the town better if we gave each one of the bulleted parts of number 1, 2, 3, and 4 a deadline, a timeline? Because I feel like sometimes that's, you know, other things happen and then all of our energy gets thrown towards and these things kind of fall by the wayside until the next audit happens and then, oh, we haven't done them or we haven't, you know, completely accomplished what we set out to do. So I don't know. Whatever we're doing now isn't really working because we shouldn't be on the same list again.
First of all, if you remember, there were 8 findings in last year's audit of previous fiscal year. So 4 of them have gone away completely. Of the 4 of the previous fiscal year, if you look at them, the problem is that 2 of the 4 have been completed, but not in the timeliness of when the audit does. The tailings account was done in January and April, so that is complete, number three. And the performance bond was completed, number four. So now you're down to two issues, one the ambulance one, mm-hmm. which I think has been, as you said, an ongoing one. And the first one was, we've done it, we just didn't, I guess if you do it, we need to do a little more training. So of the eight that were on the list, there's one that is not completed, mm-hmm. one that's 90% completed. So I think we did do all of those other than one that we knew we couldn't do.
Okay, well, that wasn't really reflected in this document, then, because I'm just reading what I got.
Well, it is. Well, because if you look at the tailings...
My responses, it is.
Town established, I did. In the town's response, if you look, in the audit is, you know...
But it doesn't talk about the other four.
Well, they're all done, though.
Well, you could have mentioned that this was War of Eight or something, just so that the public has some awareness that this wasn't the only four, because that's the way I read it, too. I didn't go back to last year.
Well, there were eight
right.
Findings in 06.
I think we can all agree that the timing is the issue.
Right.
Because if you look at it and you look at the year that they were reported, ended June 30th, 2006, but it wasn't really conveyed till June of 2007. Mm-hmm. So to have actually made all that gain on those eight items in the year is not reflected here timeline-wise. Right. So if we got information in June, you go through the end of the year, and you've implemented it, you know, say the tailings account in January, that's an accomplishment, but it's not reflected here because it looks like you were told the information in June 30th of 06, and it wasn't really June 30th of 07. So I think it goes back to what Councilor Pfeffer said, we need to get the process, you know, and without pointing fingers, it doesn't matter who's responsible, that we're getting the information in January rather than in June. Anyone else? Paul? No. Yes, sir.
My name is Frank Falvey. First of all, I'd like to ask the auditor that when one of his representatives were here in February on the special school audit, he made a statement that they only audit the bottom line of the school department. Could you expand of what the scope of your audit of the school department is, and particularly your scope of their internal controls?
I guess first, with respect to that comment that my colleague made, Mr. Sullivan, I think that probably really just refers to the fact that the school department, with its budget, has bottom line autonomy, and you know is not permitted to spend beyond that one total number. It can't overexpend in line item A, provided there's another line item that offsets that. So I think that's all that comment was really referring to, although I was not present at that meeting. With respect to our audit of the school department as a result of this basic financial statement audit, there's no doubt that the school department is the largest department here in the town, as it is in virtually all Massachusetts governmental organizations. And so the sample testing that we do with respect to payroll transactions and vendor transactions, as well as receipt information, is appropriately weighed towards that. If the budget for the school is, and again, this is just roughly 50% of the town, then approximately 50% of our audit test work is associated with the school expenditures and receipts in accordance with that weighting, if you will. Our internal control procedures and our gathering of data to understand the internal control structure here in the town is a town-wide thing. We do internal control evaluations on key departments in the comptroller's office, tax collector, treasurer, and school department are undoubtedly the key financial departments here in the town. So we do spend a significant amount of time studying the internal controls and where appropriate, testing those internal controls.
You, in your management letter, You make passing reference to the special audit that was done by the school department. But no, I mean, you did not list it as a major item of significant of significance. Is there a reason for that?
Well, respectfully, I think I do list it as a significant item in the management letter. And I don't think I'm just raising it in passing. What I'm actually raising is the internal control problem in the design of your system. Presently, your system permits the school department to make entries. That's really the root of the problem, and that's what needs the corrective action.
In your management letter, if I just read a brief statement, internal accounting controls over financial reporting, parenthesis, internal control, as a basis for design of our audit procedures for the purpose of expressing our opinion on the financial statement, but not for the purpose of expressing an opinion on the effectiveness of the town's internal control. Accordingly, we do not express an opinion on the effectiveness of the town's internal control. I would just support and as the auditor has mentioned, item five is really the heart of what needs to be done, and whether you have someone on a part-time basis or even a different audit firm review your internal controls or certain internal controls, I certainly think that is very necessary to improving Franklin's audit report and financial position. The other thing that I would say is I really hope, as I've said before, that when you send out a request for bid for the 2008 audit, which year is ending in a few days, that you ask for that audit to be completed by December 31st of 2008. And my last question is, on page 11, under government activities, you show net assets unrestricted of $13,520,000. Now, as he said, there are two different accounting reports that he's presented you. And the other significant thing he mentioned was how much free cash you have, which is only $2 million something. But someone picking this up, looking at that number, is going to be kind of misled, possibly, and maybe there needs to be a reconciliation or an explanation between unrestricted of $13 million and only available cash of $2 million. I appreciate your time and patience.
Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim and Sue. I'm going to take a 2-minute recess.
This has been another in a series of podcasts on Franklin, Mass. And what matters in Franklin. You can visit the website at franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve.gmail.com. And suresteve is S-H-E-R-S-T-E-V-E, which is the short combination of Steve Sherlock, suresteve. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for other podcasts on what matters in Franklin.